Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, we've moved to our new studios out here in the hallway at this place is called the Clarion here in Wichita, Kansas. We did have some issues yesterday with the audio streaming, the video streaming, and folks, please bear with us because some of this stuff we're doing right off of a cell phone. And so Mike Heath, who's here with us, his cell phone got a little bit overheated, and that's why some of our dialogue got garbled and the video and all that. So we're doing the best we can. We are literally in the hallway outside the cafeteria. It is only 6 o'clock here, so those people who are going to start strolling down this way to get ready to come and have some breakfast, we're going to grab some of them. We're gonna listen. I don't know if you could call your friends and tell them. You can't do that, but that's what you do in radio. Makes it sound important. Hey, call your friends and let them know that here at about 7:15, we're going to have Holocaust survivor Eva Adel on with us. Eva is 81, I think she told me. And she and I were arrested together down in Montgomery, Alabama, taking water to Terry Schiavo. And she's just a fierce pro-lifer. Many, many times, and is trying to connect the dot in people's minds between what happened in the Nazi Holocaust with the Jews and what's happening with the unborn children. Because she calls it, as we all know, she does, not the only one, we call it a Holocaust. It's another Holocaust. Remember this. Come on now. All those who hate me love death. And it's been the goal and the job of the devil and his minions to destroy God's little image bearers. We are reproductions of Jesus. We are. We're reproductions of him. And every child that's think about, I heard this. Now listen, yesterday, hey guys, you can hear the Bible 1,000 times. You can read the Bible 1,000 times. And the 1,001st time you read it, something that you had read 1,000 times all of a sudden gets new life to you. You guys know what I'm talking about? About thumbs up, you know what I'm talking about? That happened to me yesterday. And it happened to me in just a casual conversation I was having with Eva Adel yesterday morning, just after I went off the air. And she was just talking about our need to protect the little ones. And she said, you know, Jesus said, you'll hear she has a little bit of broken English. She said, Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of my brethren, you do unto me. And I was, all of a sudden, that depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you because I was hungry. You didn't give me food. I was thirsty. You didn't give me drink. He says, when, Lord? And they answer, well, because you did it. When you did it the least of my brethren, you did it unto me. And she said that too. She just used that phrase, whatever you do to the least of my brethren, you do unto me. And it hit me right in the face.
Coach, you're cutting in and out.
Mike, I'm cutting in and out here. I don't know if maybe we need to switch internets. Stephen's going to try to get us going here. Whatever you do to the least of my brothers, you do it unto me. You abort the babies. You abort Jesus. Man, that was a bunch of water in my face. Hey, Jared, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to switch internets. I'm going to get away for a minute, come back. And while I'm away, Jared, let's go ahead and play that first video. Folks, this is when we arrived yesterday. Some of us made it to George Tiller's abortion clinic for the first time yesterday. And Mike and I made about a minute 55 video. Jared's going to go ahead and play that, and I'm going to try to switch internets, see if I can get something a little bit more stable. So if we come out of this and I'm not here, somebody about start talking until we are able to capture our stream again. I shouldn't have to go off, they said. Go ahead and play it then. See if you can help me, Steve. Go ahead and play it, Jerry.
Hey, folks. Coach Dave here on Tuesday morning in Wichita, Kansas. We're outside George Tiller's clinic where he killed 65,000 late-term abortion children by his own admission. Now, you can see the police presence they have here. I don't know what they think we're going to do, but the unbelievable amount of police that are out there. There's a bunch more down there. Might get a picture of all these pro-lifers that are coming down the streets here. We got us a great crowd. Even shoot back down that way, Michael, and you can see they're still getting out of their cars, coming this way to stand in front of this clinic. But I want to show you something, folks. Don't ever miss this point. Read these signs. These have been put up by the clinic. Read what this says. 49% of all Kansas students are enrolled in free and reduced meal programs. So kill them! Kill them! They're costing us money! Kill them! Look here. 6,156 number of children in foster care. Let's kill all those foster kids. Let's kill them all. That's their solution. 6,300 food backpacks prepared weekly for Kansas students. Let's kill them all then. We'll get rid of all this having to feed these useless eaters. Don't ever forget, that's what Margaret Sanger said. They were useless eaters. Remember, all those who hate me love death. This is a death, but this is Auschwitz of the preborn right here in Wichita, Kansas. Come and join us. Still time to get here this week and help us. God save America. God save America. America, repent. Stop killing unborn babies. God bless y'all.
Okay, I switched streams. I don't know if am I any better, Jared. You able to hear me okay?
We can hear you.
Okay, good. Thanks, Serge. I see your thumbs up. So that was outside the abortion clinic, and they gave themselves away, didn't they? They put these banners up saying, see, because we're letting all these useless eaters be born, we're feeding these homeless kids, and we got them in foster care. And see, how can you determine, folks, when a woman walks into a clinic or when a woman gets pregnant, how can you determine which one's not going to have a job? And which one's going to be president of the United States? How can you make that determination? And so their logic blows up right in their own face. Are they saying, well, let's just go kill all the poor kids then? Heck, let's move beyond abortion. Let's go kill all the useless eaters. That's what Margaret Sanger called them, useless eaters. We're heading there, see. Back in 2004, I believe it was, 2005, I guess, I was arrested in Pinellas County, Florida, for taking water to Terry Schiavo. Eva Adel, who's going to be here with me, she is. Bill Hewitt, who just walked by, he was arrested with us. The three of us went into jail together. And I tried to warn them back in 2005 when we were in Pinellas County, Florida. Listen, they're coming for Grandpa next. If they can kill Terry Schiavo, right in middle, right? Do you understand they did this right under the camera, the watch of the whole world? They went into Pinellas County, Florida, and they killed that handicapped woman. And we tried to warn them. It's coming. It's coming to the other old people. Well, our mother-in-law, my wife's mother has horrible, horrible dementia, Alzheimer's. Just horrible. Really, no community. There's nothing there. Nothing there. And every day, every month, we get a bill. We get a bill for her care. And I can tell you, when you open that bill and you look at it, it almost drops you to your knees. Thinking, are you kidding me? So how many kids, baby boomers, my age across America, are looking at bills like that for their dad or their mom who's in nursing care? And they're thinking, golly, Mom wouldn't want to live like that. Dad wouldn't want to live like that. Isn't that what they told us about Terry Schiavo? Didn't her husband say, well, she didn't want to live like that? And so they said, oh, yes, she didn't. Oh, okay, well, let's starve her. And I said, no, let's not starve her. Let's shoot her. Or let's put a pillow over her head and suffocate her. No. We had to be more cruel. We had to be more cruel. Listen, Scripture says in Proverbs that the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel. Say that again. The kindest acts of the wicked are cruel. They didn't give Terry Schiavo an injection. They starved her to death and called that a natural death, right? How screwed up are we, see? All those who hate me love death. So you think it's going to be something? We look at what happened. Eva Adel is going to come up here in a second. We looked at what happened in the Nazi concentration camps and the killing of all those people, and we said, oh, that could never happen. That could never happen here. Are you out of your mind? When you devalue the least amongst them, the unborn babies and the infirm, that's the greatest form of bullying there is. When a healthy, well person kills a dependent, unhealthy, and I don't even say unhealthy, a dependent person is depending on you. We're wicked, folks. We have become wicked. So we go to the clinic yesterday. I showed you that video. We had a bunch of us there yesterday, a bunch of us out there. You should have seen the number of police. This next video is going to show that, or I guess it just did. And we're making some headway with some of these cops because, of course, they believe we're the terrorists who come in. They believed everything that's been said about us. It's just not true. So I want to show you. I want to go to another video right now. This video is, no nice way to say this, the pro-aborts have turned George Teller's clinic into a memorial. Remember, 65,000 little babies died there, 65,000 late-term babies. These were babies who killed from all over the nation. All around the world, flew into George Teller's clinic because he was the expert. He was the expert. And right there, on site, they had a crematory where they would kill the baby. For an extra fee, they would baptize the baby. For another fee, they would take pictures of the parents with the baby. I'm not making this up. And then they'd throw it in the oven and they'd burn it. And the ashes from that crematory would spread over the people standing outside ministering. It'd be on the sidewalks and on the cars. Barbaric. And so what I want to show you now is they've turned this clinic into a memorial. A memorial. You're going to, well, let's let that video run there, Jared, and people will know what I'm talking about here.
Hey, folks, Coach Dave again here on Tuesday morning. Outside Teller's clinic. Here's what we do. Praise and worship outside the clinic. There are people that hold signs. There are people that witness to the girls that come in. We're a gospel-focused ministry. I want to show you something about how proud the enemy is. What they've done is because they knew we were coming. We're outside again, George Teller's clinic. And you can see they have pictures up here of all the abortion doctors who have met an untimely death. And it gives in memory of, like, stay right there. That's George Teller. In memory of Dr. George Teller, murdered in his church by an anti-choice activist on May 31st, 2009. Folks, keep that picture on him, Mike. That guy right there killed 65,000 babies. And they say he was murdered. I believe he met God. I believe he's on fire for Jesus today, one way or another. In memory of Lieutenant Colonel James Barrett, murdered by an anti-choice activist. Next guy, Robert Sanderson, murdered. They have built a monument here, proud of what they have done in the killing of unborn children. And so we're here just to bring a Christian rebuke. Just to rebuke them to come and try to rescue babies. Folks, this should be a Holocaust memorial. Just like you would find in Germany. It should be a memorial to the people that died here. And instead, they built it as a memorial to those who killed babies. Rise up, church. Let's rise up and begin to start telling the truth. God bless you.
That's crazy, isn't it, guys? It's crazy. But see, they're so proud. That's why I entitled that video, "The Pride Cometh Before a Fall." That thing's coming down. That clinic was closed for about 3 years after Teller was killed. I had somebody caution me yesterday. I said that he was murdered, and somebody got really mad and said, no, that guy wasn't murdered. That wasn't murdered. He got what he deserved. And so, you think about if we really believed those were babies, we really believed it, George Teller would be the greatest mass murderer in the history of America. 65,000. Can you imagine, what would that corner there in Wichita, Kansas, what would it look like if right there on that street corner, some poor homosexual had been shot there. Can you imagine the memorial that they would have to that gay guy? Can you imagine? Yet 65,000 people died at that little clinic, and they honor, come here, Bill, and they honor the murderer. They honor the murderer. Come right up here. Here's my buddy Bill Hewitt. Bill's from Georgia. Bill, hang on here a second. Guys, I'm going to take my headphone off. Bill, we're live. These guys all down here, you can see them down there. They're all part of this with me.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Bill's from I've known Bill for a long time. Bill Hewitt and I were arrested together down in
Montgomery, Alabama.
No. In the wrong town, buddy. We were arrested together in Pinellas County, Florida.
With Terry
Scheibel.
Yeah, yeah, I remember it well.
And Bill, you're just a grandpa, and you're here with your wife and your granddaughter.
Yes.
What is wrong with you? What are you doing here?
Well, we come to have a part in what's going on here in this town, to see if we can't do something to stop the shedding of innocent blood all across this land, because it's an atrocity against God and God's word. So we've come to be a part of this great organization, which you've been a part of for a number of years. So it's my job and responsibility to understand what particularly the time that we've been here during this time, to understand that there's going to be a doctrine that has been issued to the police departments all across America, that this is not an optional thing. This is something that must be stopped, and they don't have an option either, because it's gone on so terribly, terribly long. 67 or so million babies killed in America, and I just heard Coach say 65,000 little babies killed at George Shiller's clinic that he killed, and still the killing goes on. The only one good little thing about it is they don't have the crematorium anymore. It's gone. My wife and I were there many years ago. And they cremated the little babies, and the ashes of the babies would come down and land on your head, on your shoulders, and all the cars that were around. And we knew that those were the ashes of the little boys and girls that had been killed that day. What a horror. And this place is reopened. That's a horror, too. So soon, perhaps soon, the Church of Jesus Christ would rise up and say no more. We've had enough. It should have happened long ago. But any time soon, it needs to stop. We can't be a nation under God when we kill the little boys and girls made in the very image of God. It's got to stop. America will become great, but only great if we stop this horror. So thank you, Coach. You have a good day. Patsy and I got to get down to get back home.
God bless you, Bill. Folks, I just want you to know this is just everyday mom and pops. That's what's here. And I was just thinking as Bill was speaking there, why aren't our hearts broken? Why are our hearts not broken? As Bill started to weep there, why are our hearts not broken? We love to talk about the Holocaust and 6 million here killed, and oh my goodness, those 23 killed at Sandy Hook, and oh my goodness, those 7 police officers, they're killing 6,000 a day and not a tear being shed anywhere by anybody. Oh, they are here. There's tears being shed here. You stand outside that death pit and you realize it's like walking. I've never been to Auschwitz. I've never been there. I've never been there. But it must be like walking, a harrowing, hollow feeling when you're outside that building and you understand exactly what went on. Let me open up the queue real quick, and then I got Eve I'm going to bring in here in just a second. Anybody have a comment at this point?
Coach, in terms of abortion, what happens when you have 4 children and one of you loses your job and you can no longer afford all 4 of those children? You have to select which one you're going to get rid of?
I guess we ought to legalize that, right? We ought to legalize it. Doggone it. It's too bad you lost your job. Let's get rid of your kids here for you. I mean, that's just too much of a burden for anybody to have to carry. And see, Jim, we've lost the ability to think. We've lost the ability to logically think. And the abortion industry has been so good because out of sight, out of mind, see. And if we could get – see, if we did have cameras, David DeLeiden took cameras right inside those abortion clinics, and we still didn't want to believe it, right? The media told us it was a lie, and we believed it. They told us that it was a lie. Hillary's for us, but David DeLeiden's lying, right? And that's part of the delusion that's on America today. That we can't even understand. We can't even believe our own eyes. You're not really saying it. What's that old line? Who are you going to believe, me or your eyes, your lying eyes? And we say, yeah, that's right. The Cuomo, he's on in the background back here. This Cuomo guy interviewing people there at the Republican convention. I'll believe him, I guess, rather than what I'm seeing. It's just unbelievable where we are. Anybody else? Yeah, Roger.
What I always am perplexed about is I'm pretty convinced that if 30 to 40% of the people in church on Sunday showed up at some of these places or showed up at the governor's mansion, most of this stuff would stop. And I'm always intrigued how and why nobody shows up.
Roger, we have church people driving by flipping us off. But, you understand? We have churches that are mad we're here.
But I understand that. But if you were to ask the average person where I worship, they would be right with you on the topic. But they would not be able to be with you on the action that is needed.
That's right.
That's what I understand.
So that's faith without works, isn't it, Roger? You can say you're pro-life, something. And you can vote pro-life, and you can pray all that stuff, but until you step out in the street and do something about it, you can be pro-life. Don't give me that baloney. Don't give me that baloney that you're pro-life and you never raise a finger to do anything about it. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me. Hey, listen, don't tell me you're pro-life and you give your money to your church and you don't support those who are really outside trying to do something about it. Don't give me that stuff, see? That's all makes you. It may make you feel good because you gave your money to your church and you did your duty and all that. You may feel better, but there ain't one baby that's being saved as a result of that. So see, our actions don't match our beliefs. I can tell my wife how much I love her. I can tell her that every night, and I do. And I tell her every morning when she gets up how pretty she is. But if I'm out with other women, it don't mean much to her, right? It don't mean much to her. It's all phony, and that's where we are in this pro-life world that we live in. Yeah, JR.
No, that's Larry.
Larry, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, a lot of our sayings from our society today come from the Bible, like what goes around comes around is from you reap what you sow and so forth.
Right.
You know, that old saying that your actions speak louder than words, you know, that's got biblical roots too.
Faith without works.
Back in Deuteronomy, God had Moses go up on the mountain, and now this is quite a ways, you know, quite a while after the Mount Sinai thing. But had Moses go up on a mountain just before the people went into the new promised land, and he told them all the great things that were going to happen if they remained faithful and obedient to God.
Yes, sir.
And the people said, oh, this is great. We're going to be his people. He's going to be our God. We're going to do it. This is going to be great. And God told Moses, he says, I hear them, and what they're saying sounds great. I just wish what was in their hearts would line up.
Oh, my brother.
The actions speak louder than the words.
Amen. Amen. So, Larry, I want to continue to make this point as I bring Eva in here. We're not better Christians. I'm not a better Christian than Larry Richardson. I'm not a better Christian than Roger. I'm not a better Christian because I'm here. But I am walking out my faith more than the average guy. And faith without works is dead. If you're not walking out your faith, if your actions aren't matching your beliefs, there's some dissidence there, isn't there? If your action isn't matching what you say you believe, are you going to sit in your house and tell your wife that the grass needs cut and not cut it? You're going to pray that the grass gets cut, or are you going to put action to what you believe? And your wife says, honey, that car's dirty. Can you wash the car? And you say, sure, honey. I believe in clean cars. I sure do believe in them and never wash the car. That's what's going on. Listen, I'm eating up some time. Eva Adel. I'm going to put these headphones on Eva. Eva, I don't know if you can see these guys. There are hundreds of thousands of people that are going to be watching us here today. These guys are all live with us right down here, okay?
Okay.
Eva is – I'm just going to put the headphones on Eva, and I'm just going to let her talk to you a little bit. I met her when we were down in Pinellas County, Florida. I got arrested for taking water to Terry Schiavo, and so did this young lady. She was arrested. She'd been arrested many times for the unborn. She's a survivor of the Holocaust. And I'm just going to put the headphones on Eva and just let her talk to you a little bit so you can hear her heart about where we are and what she has seen in the past and why we better wake up. So hang on here a second. Let's get Eva up here.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Gentlemen, is there a lady there? No, just gentlemen. Yes, I am a survivor of a government that decided to take our citizenship away and exterminate us. I was 9 years old towards the end of World War II, and the people around us, the rest of the population, was very upset over what was being done to us. You see, we were singled out. The government just needed an excuse to make us non-persons, declare us non-persons, and then have the excuse to confiscate our belongings and exterminate us. The rest of the people were not for what the government wanted to do. However, nobody did anything. When they marched us down the street, they wept, but nobody raised a finger to help us. When my train was shipped into the death camp with all the babies, the old and the sick on it, I wish the good people, the Christian people of my country, would have gathered like we are doing in front of the clinic and pleaded for our lives. And perhaps the soldiers might have killed a few as an example, but they could not kill all of them. That's why I say to America, wake up, stand for the unborn, come out in numbers, because when they're only few, they're marginalized as radicals and crazy. But we need to stand up. See, my country, I was born in Yugoslavia. In my country, people went to church. I heard the church bells ring. They were allowed to go to church. They had freedom of worship, but they did not have freedom of religion to go out of the church walls and live out their faith. So I just urge you, please get involved. If not for the baby's sake, for your own sake. Because first they're going to kill those babies. We're running out of money for Social Security. Then it's going to be the sick, like Terry Schiavo, and it's going to be the elderly. And before long, it's going to be anybody that is not wanted. So I urge the Church of Jesus Christ to live out the faith for Jesus' sake and for our country's sake. Do you have any questions?
Just hang on there just a second, Eva. Just keep it
on. Thank you for your witness, Eva.
What do I need to do?
You just sit tight.
Okay.
Thank you for your witness. Very powerful. Very powerful. Very telling. Thanks very much.
It'll be one at a time. Let's see if anybody else have anything?
Anybody have any question?
Roger. Eva, are you a follower of Christ?
I was saved when I was 9 years old. I'm not Jewish. Mm-hmm. Other people besides Jewish people were killed also.
Gotcha. Okay.
It doesn't matter. That's why I don't even go into my background. It doesn't matter. When we have a government that is ungodly and does not respect what God says, that life has intrinsic worth from the moment of conception to natural birth, anybody can become a victim, depending on who is in power at the moment.
Because Eva, I don't know if you guys can hear me, if we allow the government to determine who is worthy of staying alive, that becomes a Holocaust, doesn't it?
That's right. My people group actually has been exterminated. I was blessed to be able to escape. But everybody else is gone, so my people group is no longer identifiable in this world. And that's a Holocaust in a sense. It's a genocide. And I can't impress on people enough to get involved, because it will be their own loved ones that will be eventually exterminated. We're living under a godless government. Let's face it. We have thrown God out of the classrooms. We have thrown God out of the courtrooms. We have thrown God out of our country. And God has turned us over to our own devices. just like when you get frustrated with your own children and they don't obey, all right, have it your way. We are reaping the fruit of our own disobedience. And we need to turn back to the Lord and repent of what we're doing. And repentance is agreeing with God the way we've been going was wrong and turning around and doing what he says is right. That's true.
How long have you been in the battle, Eva?
Since 1988.
How many times have you been to jail?
43 times or more. Because I cannot stand by. I'm 81 years old and I'm still going strong. Because I have determined before the Lord, I cannot sit at home and take care of my own self only and let people, babies and people die around me.
But even at 81 years old, you want to be in a retirement village down in Florida and walking the beach and picking up shells. You shouldn't be out here doing this. You ought to be having a life of luxury now.
Oh, I'm getting all these this advice given to me. Yes, I should, but no. I want to stand before Jesus and look him in the eye and have him say, well done. I don't want him to say, what did you do while they were killing my children?
Folks, right here is the face of the pro-life movement. These are these terrorists, these hateful terrorists that they tell us all about. It's grandmas. It's just God-fearing people who love the Lord and love his children and hate what is becoming of this nation. And Eva is a living parable to warn us if we don't wake up, it's coming to our door. Is it not, dear?
Yes. Yes.
Anybody else before we let her go?
One thing that she said about throwing God out of our schools. You know, if they did back in 1965 when Madeline O'Hara got prayer removed from school, if they had at that same time says, we just want to change the prayer from to God to Allah, they would have been laughed out of the nation. But they were patient. Guess what? They're putting Allah in the government schools everywhere today.
I totally agree with you.
Amen. We're going to let Eva go.
I want to just say thank you very much for everything you do.
Thank you. And please, please get involved also. There is something you can do.
Faith. We can win, can't we, Eva?
Yes. Yes, we can. God will, you know, in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1, it says, go and run through the streets of Jerusalem and see if you find one man that does justly, so I may pardon her. God is waiting for an excuse to pardon our nation and use us for the purpose for which America was created. So if we, just a small number of us, we're hoping that we will be an excuse for God to do something. He wants to be merciful to us. But if we don't give him that excuse, he has no choice but to judge us. Because the innocent blood on the ground is screaming for justice. And the only way that blood can, that scream can be stilled is by repentance and using the blood of Jesus in repentance to cover that blood. And our land can still be healed. I am fully hopeful that God will give us another season. And Lord, have mercy on us and don't let us miss it. And spread the gospel still freely. I was in a place where I could have been killed for just having some scriptures with me. I don't want America to go there.
God bless you, Eva.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Does anybody feel ashamed yet? 81 yep. years old, huh? Wow. Listen, I'm going to pull in Rusty here real quick. Rusty, come on over here. Rusty, I'm going to keep you right on target here. Rusty Thomas, one of my best buddies and National Director of Operation Save America. Rusty, I want you to just take a couple minutes. I'm going to put the headphones on you. And I want you to explain to the people who are listening the connection that you believe the Lord is showing you between what is going on with the police officers, being the ambush of the police officers, and what's going on with the babies inside the clinic.
Thanks, Coach, for this opportunity. You know, Scripture says we make our plans, but God directs our steps, and it's always been our prayer and hope that God would open our eyes to see where he is at work and then to join him in that labor to advance his cause and kingdom in the earth. And so, you know, we had an agenda coming in. This is the summer of justice. And lo and behold, as we began to move and begin to serve God in this city, some incredible things began to open up. And obviously, one of the overriding situations we're facing in America is our brave police officers. They are being targeted, they're being ambushed, they're being gunned down. And, you know, just another sign of just how violent this nation has become. All this senseless massacres, all this senseless carnage. And as God's people, we know there is a connection. We know there's a connection between this covenant of death that was established by Roe versus Wade and just certain realities. It's like spiritual gravity. Violence begets violence. Blood touches blood. It breaks out like a plague. And so we began to sense, wow, this is a prophetic moment in time. This is a window of opportunity. And so we sat down and we crafted a national press release. We crafted a document, an open letter to the police in America. And I would encourage you, please go to our website, OperationSaveAmerica.org, access that press release, access the open letter to the police in America. This needs to go viral. And what we do in this document, we express to them, we're Christians. They have no greater base of support. We love them. We honor them. We pray for them because that's what God commands us to do. But at the same time, we remind them of their God-ordained duty. Because when they become law enforcement, that they say, so help me God. And they also implore God's help in the discharge of their duties. And so in this document, we remind them of their calling and their ordination, and that is to restrain evil, protect good, and to stop the shedding of innocent blood. They're ordained to protect life, and that's a divine calling. They are ministers of God. Well, Roe versus Wade comes along. It betrays their sacred trust, and now our nation has been defending the indefensible ever since, and we're just being savaged by violence. And so we remind them of their calling, and we ask them in this letter to contact their governors, their legislators, and to join with the Church of Jesus Christ to break this covenant with death, that they would get authorization from their governors to go into their jurisdictions, and if there's a death camp, shut it down immediately and begin to arrest those who are harming God's children in the womb. And so this is the message that we're sending out. Well, little did I know that my own daughter, Destiny, who I knew was going to have my granddaughter while I was here in Wichita, because I'm a father, I'm a grandfather, And normally I'm there. I'm by their side. I participate in the birth of my children, my grandchildren. But I had a duty here, and I had to be here in Wichita, and it just tore me apart. Well, what I didn't know was an amazing scenario that God was going to put together, and only God can do this. Well, while we're sending out this document to the police, here's my daughter about to have my granddaughter. They're driving to the hospital. They're racing to get there in time. And lo and behold, here's a police officer in Texas whose life has just dramatically, I mean dramatically, changed. He sees my son-in-law drive by speeding, so he's a good police officer. Wing, 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 wing. You know, he comes alongside, tells him to slow down. And, of course, my son-in-law says, I can't slow down. My wife is having a baby. And so the cop goes, okay, let's go. Wee, 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 wee. And all of a sudden, the baby is coming. They're not going to make it to the hospital. And so they pull over to the side of the road in this gas station, and here comes the police officer, and he's on the phone, you know, 911, we need an ambulance, we're having a baby, what do we do, what do I do? And so they run over there, and here's this police officer with my son Caleb, and here comes my granddaughter. And God uses this officer to intervene to save the life of my own granddaughter while we are delivering this message to the police in America to rise up, to intervene, to save the lives of these children. A police officer in Texas is doing this for my own granddaughter. And what he did has gone viral. I mean, it has exploded. It's in the news media. They're hearing from police departments all over America, and it's rallying their hearts, and it's encouraging their souls in a time when their fellow officers are being targeted for destruction. And this is what they're saying. We've been punched in the gut, and we can't tell you what this has done to lift our spirits. And brothers and sisters, of those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, God is doing something in our midst. He's creating this prophetic parable, this message, and he's sending it to the police of America. If you will rise up, if you will repent, if you would come back to your ordained authority, and do what is right in my sight, and break this covenant with death, and defend babies. Yes, to do what they're called to do, to protect and serve, to protect life and stop the shedding of innocent blood. If they will do it and join with the Church of Jesus Christ, break this covenant of death, do what is right, fulfill their duty before God, perhaps God would return peace to America. And one of the statements, this came from Mark Crutcher. He just nails it. It's a bam. And he said this: we can shout all day long, Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, or All Lives Matter. But until preborn lives matter, no lives matter, including the police. And God, help us to see it and move into action and encourage our police to rise up in Jesus' name. God bless you, saints.
Hey, Rusty, just a second. Rusty, yeah. Can you give us that information again? Where do we go to get that information?
It's on it's operationsaveamerica.org. They can access the press release and the open letter to the police. And, brother, whatever we can do to get this out, this is the timing. This is just the timing. And, by the way, I forgot to leave out one important point in this whole thing. When these things are happening, we sent a team yesterday from Wichita to go to Kansas City.
There you go.
Yeah, to have a rally there and to lead the church out to the gates of hell. As they go, just before they arrive, the captain of the Kansas City Police Department was gunned down. He was shot dead. We can't make this stuff up. I mean to tell you, God is speaking and he is moving. And help us, Lord, to have eyes to see and ears to hear what you are doing in these days. So please, brother, get this out. Get it out far and wide. And please pray for us, because we're going to the Wichita Police Department today to minister this word to them and pray for them. God bless you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Rusty. Wow, huh?
Those of you trying to get to the press release, the only way I got there was by putting press release in the site search box on Operation Save America. Just put press release in there and then search, and it'll take you right to their press release.
Go to second.
Can you put the link up there, Larry?
Okay. Yeah, we'll do.
go to 2 Corinthians while we're shifting gears here. I got a, we got about 16 minutes here. I want to bring a little bit of scripture in here. Hey guys, I'm going to tell you something. It's like church camp for adults. Where we are, it's like church camp for adults. And there's nothing going to build your faith more than exercising it. We went to the abortionist neighborhood yesterday. I got a story to tell about that. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm going to read this quick, and then I want to quickly, I guess. Are you all there? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning verse 17. Now, remember this. The Bible wasn't written with chapters. People put chapters in there so they could organize it, but sometimes it breaks up the thought. So instead of going to chapter 4, I want to go to chapter 3 and go back a few verses and go to 17 because I think that's where thought begins. Verse 17. Y'all there? Here we go. Now the Lord is, that's verse 16. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now stay with me here. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now listen, we're not talking about fainting from personal troubles. Stay with me. But we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We are commending ourselves to every man. We want to be a walking parable. We want people to see us as Christians and their consciences be seared. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Haven't we been talking about that deception and truth being hidden and truth being twisted? Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants. For Jesus' sake, we preach it for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he shined it in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Why? Why? He explains here why. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. I'm talking about those of us here in Wichita. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death. For Jesus' sake, there it is again, for whose sake? It ain't about us. For Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. You get the picture? We die to ourselves and it produces life in others. Oh, Lord. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. I've believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you.
Larry, can you put that link up again?
About done. For all things are of you for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Hang on, about done. For which cause we faint not. What cause? Abundant grace is going to abide to everybody. We're not fainting. But though our outward man perisheth, Eve is 81 years old, her outward man's perishing, yet the inward man is renewed every day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And while we look not at things which can be seen, but at things which are not seen, for the things which we can see are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, that's what I say about this hangout. We can't see the big picture. We can't understand what's going on. We had Pastor Wayne showed up from Indianapolis yesterday. Rich is coming in today. Chris Clegg's coming in today. Things are going on that we cannot see. And it only happens because we're willing to lay down our lives. I'm going to show you another video here in a second. Pride cometh before a fall. One last video. We went to the abortionist's house yesterday. Two of them. They live about, they might live a mile apart. Julie Burkhart. We went outside her house. I'm going to show you. I want you, when this, if you guys can do that right now, go ahead and click on that screen that Jared's put up there. And don't play yet, Jared. Love is the language spoken here. Do you guys see that? Give me a thumbs. Can you see that? That's a sign. That's the sign. I'm not kidding you. That's the sign that hangs on the porch of the abortionist's home. That is Julie Burkhart's front porch. Now, we're talking about a woman who kills unborn babies. We went to her house yesterday. We gave her the gospel. She didn't come out, of course. She was out in the streets. We went to her neighborhood, and we handed out flyers to her neighborhood. Say, hey, pray for your neighbor over there, the one got all that love language. Pray for her. She kills babies. Many of the neighbors didn't know it. We call it an educational outreach. This video is about a minute and 53 seconds. This is Coach Dave standing outside the house of Julie Burkhart. We're letting our light shine. Do you understand what I just read to you? This is what we're doing. Persecuted on every side, cast down, not forsaken. We are living out the gospel of Jesus in front of Julie Burkhart's home. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
Hey, folks. Coach Dave here in Wichita, Kansas. Look at that sign you can see right there. Love is the language spoken here. Seems like a beautiful sign, beautiful slogan. The only problem is that is where the abortionist, Julie Burkhart, one who does the murders here at George Tiller's abortion clinic, this is her home. It's her home. And we're on an educational outreach right now. It's one of the things we do when we come into the community. We are taking flyers door to door and making the neighbors aware of just what it is that Julie Burkhart does. See, love's one of those words that just can mean just about anything. I love chocolate. I love the Cincinnati Reds. Language of love is spoken here. Well, love does not include killing unborn children. And we know this, that if we make the issue about a woman's right to choose, the woman's going to win. They're going to win that argument. But if we make the argument about a baby's right to live, well, then the baby wins the argument. So we love women, but we also love babies. And we don't think that any woman, any mother, anyone has the right to make a decision of life or death for another human being. So Julie Burkhart, who's killing babies, can say she's doing it out of love. Well, the Bible tells us that God is love. Do you think God wants unborn babies to die? Is that the expression of love that God would want us to show? Julie Burkhart, everything the left does is a lie. The language of love is spoken there? No. The language is death. Remember, all those who hate me, love death. There it is right over my shoulder. God bless you.
See, death is her language of love. She thinks death is love. That's how messed up we are. Guys, we're down to about the 5 or 6 minute mark here. I open the floor to comments, questions, reactions from anybody.
Yeah, Coach, if you're already a murderer, especially a murder of innocent children, then telling a big, bald, bold-faced lie on a sign in front of your house is nothing. That's just automatic.
But that's right.
I want to read one of the verses that you covered in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, and I want to read it the way most people have been indoctrinated to think that it reads.
Okay.
It's verse 13. It says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I just stood around and kept believing." But that's not what it says, is it?
No, it isn't.
"I believed, and therefore, because I believed, I spoke." Belief, by definition, includes follow-up action. Anybody that thinking believing is a thing of the mind and making a decision about something, they don't understand the biblical principle of belief.
Amen. Larry, again, a great nugget of truth. And that's why he says, faith without works is dead. You shall know them by their fruit. When you watch a person and you watch what they do, you know exactly what they believe. Jump in here, Roger.
Oh, just good stuff.
And I, you know, guys, I can't emphasize enough that this is just folk. This is just folk. Mike, come on over here. I'm gonna put the headphones on Mike. Mike's been here 3 days, and I'm just gonna let him share kind of his impression here after 3 days.
Can you guys hear me? Yeah, I'm really thankful to be here. My mind's kind of in the tech. At the moment this thing's over, we got to tear everything down, and then they move real quick. It's kind of like being part of a military operation, being at an Operation Save America event. Yesterday was really moving to me because we went to George Tiller's old clinic, and one of the things that impressed me the most was the directness of the people as they prayed, the gentleness of the young people, the children, as they sang worship songs in front of the hall of shame that the abortionists had put on the wall of the clinic. And then also the gentleman named Ante, who was speaking through a loudspeaker right at the entrance of the clinic as people entered the clinic. As I was working with Coach, a tall, lithe, blonde woman came walking by, and he named her and knew her because she flies around the country, and she apparently has something to do with fighting the Operation Save America. Folks, it's really important to show up at these things, because when you just hear a sermon about abortion, or you just pray about it, or you just think about it, or think about the clinic, or think about it as something apart from yourself, apart from your enfleshed self, who you are, it's different from observing it. This woman walked by, and she was arrogant and strong, and she was a warrior for the other side. Two kingdoms are colliding when you do this work, and it's very clear. It jumps at you in full color, and we have to fight for life. And I'm so thankful to God that I can be here, and to Coach for his bold work, and for all the folks who are like him, who are part of Operation Save America, hundreds of them who are here doing this important work. And thanks for being on the huddle. It was another thing before I stop, a real special moment yesterday for me was a pastor who came here from Indianapolis, drove here because of this show. Got to meet him and his wife, got to speak with him about what they're confronting in their church at home, church of close to 200 people. And he's stepping out, getting involved because of this huddle, because of this show. And he was on the street holding a sign in front of Tiller's clinic yesterday, and I could tell that God is becoming very real to him in a new way as a pastor. So praise God. Keep watching the show. Keep praying for the coach and for the great work that CoachDaveLive.com is doing, and make sure you share CoachDaveLive.com with all your friends.
Cool. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for the commercial. Got to run because we wrap things up fast. It's almost 8 o'clock. We have a meeting. 7 o'clock here. We have a meeting at 7. We hit the streets right away. So got a good flavor from it today, guys. Eva Adel, Holocaust survivor, 81 years old, crying a warning to all of us that the British are coming. The British are coming. The British are coming. Question is, are we gonna hear him? Hey, God bless you. Got an exciting day ahead, and look forward to seeing you all tomorrow.